I would like you to tell me something about your life in Europe.
My name is William Langer, and I'm born in 1888. I live with my parents, which in the family was 3 brothers and 2 sisters. One brother was the oldest one. Then myself, and after was another brother, younger one than I. Then was 2 sisters, one older one and one younger one.
My hometown
is the name Boguslav, which this is near Kiev. The house where I live was a plain house in wood. The roof was covered with straw. There was no electricity, no gas. They used to have light kerosene.
They used sometimes candles
and sometimes kerosene. The life was very poor. There was in the house was not like a near nice furniture. They don't often those things in the old days. It was very plain.
You said the roof was covered with
straw. With straw.
And the floor?
And the floor was plain. The ground. They used to smear that with some kind of lame. In Jewish they used to call lame. I start my education to 6 years in Hebrew school, and I was going to 10 years to Hebrew school. After, they put me in a tailor to learn tailoring.
How old were you then?
10 years.
When you learned tailoring?
Yeah. 10 years I was in a tailor shop. I learned my trade. I was working without pay, no money. The third year they start to give me clothing. And as I remember, $25 the year. And when I reached 15 years, then I was a coat maker, making coats, pants.
How much did they pay you then?
Then they paid me $100 a year.
Was this enough money to live on?
And as I was already a coat maker, I left Russia. And I was going to Austria, Vienna. I worked there in daytime, in the evening I made school for cutting, to be a cutter.
What kind of work did your father do? Was he a tailor too?
My father was a businessman. He used to send out from Russia raw, what they make, leather, you know.
Oh, leather.
Leather. Uh-huh. They used to make in Germany, they used to send out from Russia to there.
Why didn't you learn his trade?
Because to that trade, you have to have money. When I was already grown up, you have to have big money to make a nice living. My father don't have no money, he don't make a nice living either. So that's the reason why I was picking. If, of course, I didn't pick myself tailoring. My mother took me to a tailor shop and she said, you're going to learn that trade. That's what I
did. And did everybody learn when they were 6 years old?
No. People were better. They have better. They better shape. They used to be businessmen like in here. Yeah, but my father don't have money.
And you spoke. What language did you speak? Russian only, or?
I speak Russian.
At home.
At home, I speak Jewish and Russian.
And Russian. Uh-huh. And tell me more about your schooling. When did you? You said you started to school at 6 years old.
That's right.
How long did you stay?
I was in school, in Yiddish school, to 10 years.
Just 4 years?
4 years. 10 years I was in a tailor shop. I remember when that rabbi called me from the tailor shop to say Christmas with the kids. You know, when at a Krishna Leilem, the kids come in and say Krishna. And I was already 10 years, I was good for it. So the rabbi called me from the tailor shop, I shall come and learn with the kid at Krishna.
What is Krishna?
Krishna, what shall I tell you? Krishna is, they said, a Jewish man, when he davens, every morning he learns, in the davening is Krishna. And another word is, if you want to know, I'll tell you, plain. A man, when he lives, he said Krishna every day. But when a man dies, he said Krishna before he dies, and they call it Vede, in Jewish. Now, because you want to know, I'm telling you what that is.
Now, tell me more about what happened to you. You said you were 10 years in the tailor shop.
Yeah.
And then you were how old? 16.
I left Russia 16. I told you already.
Oh,
I can
16 years old? You
yeah.
left Russia?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, tell me, when you were home, did you go to a synagogue?
I was going to a synagogue, and I was a Orthodox Jew. But I belong to a party, Poyale Tzion, which in America is now, and I still belong to it.
Oh. Well, what was your synagogue like?
My synagogue was like the houses. Plain as can be a synagogue, not like in here, the big synagogues. Over there is a shul.
Plain shul. You told me there were a lot of families. How many were there in that city?
15,000. That's 15, a small 000. Town.
A small town. 15,000.
Yeah.
And you went to the synagogue with your parents and yourself.
Oh, yeah. I was with my father. My father used to go to the rabbi of Yom Tov. He used to leave my mother home and used to take the talis and twill and go to the rabbi of Yom Tov.
Why?
They call it Hasidim.
Oh.
My father was a Hasid.
Uh-huh.
But when I was growing up, I was not a Hasid, and been a Hasid not now.
Why?
Why? I don't say it's a shame. I'm proud that my father was a Hasid, yeah. But I'll tell you, to be in America, I'm different.
A Hasid is a scholar?
A Hasid is a scholar. But you see, you think a scholar is already some. It depends what kind of scholar you.
I see. Yes, I can see that. Now tell me about this. You had 15,000 Jewish people
yeah.
in your town.
Yeah.
And were there non-Jewish people there too?
Positive. The non-Jewish people used to live surrounding the city, all around.
In farms.
And you call it farm, but it's not really farm. It's like in the city, where they have a little bit of ground, where they have gardens, and you know.
How did you get along with the non-Jewish
people? Very good.
How did they treat you?
I like the Russian people.
You do?
Yeah.
What, they're lively?
They're good.
They were good to the Jews?
They're good. If nobody shall bother them, they better than good. They good people, good nature, but
the government
wants. In between all people, there is
some that are.
Yeah.
Some that are good.
In general, the Russian people are good.
You said you belong to a political organization.
That's Poyalet Zion.
What about?
You want to know what it means, Poyalet Zion? I'll tell you. Poyalet, it means a working man. Zion, Edomim, Palestine. It means wherever they give you ground to have a territory for yourself, it means Poyalet Zion.
That was the name of it.
Yeah.
Was it a socialist
organization. Mm-hmm. Today, I have different opinion about that too.
What is it?
100% a territory shall be like Palestine for Jewish people. The Jewish people shall be not in Biri Bujan, like Russia said, well, we give you territory there.
Well, tell me this, when you were living there as a young boy, before 16, did you have enough food, enough clothing?
Russia used to have to eat as good as nobody has in Europe as much as Russia used to have. Enough. I'll tell you one thing, not fancy thing. Whatever you used to, you don't take out from the refrigerator. There was no refrigerator. And you don't freeze stuff. You go to the garden, take and pick it.
That's why you were all healthy.
Yeah.
What about the government? How was the government in relationships to the Jewish people?
Anti-Semitic.
What, like, in what way?
In what way? I'll tell you in what way. In which way, when you want to cover this word anti-Semitic, is in any way.
Well, give me examples. What did they do?
I'll tell you what. Suppose in Russia you have a blood bilbo. A blood bilbo, it means the Jewish people need blood for Pesach, for the matzah. They used to come at the Jewish people for Pesach, kill that boy over there. And another they killed the boy in the make after the pogrom. It was in the government.
The government made up those stories.
The stories.
Well, what did they do to the people? Did they come to their houses?
Rob everything. And some, I wonder you ask me, because you remember Kashinev pogrom. This was arranged. It's all right. This was arranged by the government. I'm a man 80 years old, and I knew I could tell you all about Russia, but there is not so much time to do it.
You can talk about it some more if you'd like. You can tell me some more. Did you think about it when they were having these pogroms? Did they harm you, yourself, or your family? Were you involved?
No, I'm going to tell you exactly like it was. The first thing, the pogrom, they come, they have, like here in America, they have the Jewish are rich. The Jewish have. The first thing when they used to come in a pogrom, they take what? They take out whatever you have in the house, a berbatten, a cushion,
jewelry.
You know, they took some furniture they took too. Then they beat you up. The first thing, there was no killing. Lately, in 1910 and 1911, they killed people.
But when you were little, they didn't.
When I was little, I can tell you one thing. Eastern, when it comes Eastern, you can't go out in the street. You have to lay in the house, not in the by the windows. Nobody shall see you.
You mean at Easter time?
Easter time.
Why? Because they blame the Jews. Well, when this was going on, when did you begin to think of America?
Of America. I'll come to you. Won't I'll come to you.
Yeah.
No. I have to tell you lots of things.
But, go ahead.
In 1921, I left Russia. But before 1921, I'll tell you when 1914, when they took me to the First World War.
Who took you?
Russia.
Oh.
I was an Austrian received from the Austrian government, or enlist to us or go to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was in 1914. Mm-hmm. And at that time I was in Vienna.
How old were you?
In 1914, I was 24 years old.
Oh, so you lived in Austria for about 12 years.
Yeah, something a long period. I really don't take me for, because I really
can't remember
every a little bit.
I forgot to ask, your parents went with you. You went with your parents to Austria?
No, sir. My parents was at home and I was myself.
You left at 16 years.
I left in 16 years, Russia.
Why did you leave?
I don't have a right to live in Russia in the big cities where they pay big prices for making clothes.
Oh.
You understand?
Yeah.
Over there where they pay big prices is not allowed Jewish people to live. Now, Russia and Austria as between them two. If students come to Russia and have a diploma from Russia and bring to Austria, Austria recognizes the Russian diploma.
You were allowed to work.
Yeah. Now when a Jew comes from Austria with a diploma from Austria government, Russia can't tell a Jew, you're not allowed to live in Kiev, you're not allowed to live in Moscow. I'll tell you what's happened with me. When I have already my diploma, and I came the first time, I remember, to Kiev, a gendarme came to me and said, Jew, do you have a passport? I said to him, I have better than a passport. And I took out my picture with diploma and I showed him. He apologized to me. Now, the answer is to you, why I was going to Vienna and a candidate.
Well, then after you were there and you were 24 years old, then did you begin to think about America, or why did you begin to think about America?
There is connection, lots of things, and I'll explain.
Yeah, go ahead.
When I came back from war, 1914, I was going to Russia and like a Russian soldier, they sent me to the front. I was a prisoner, I was wounded, I was a prisoner of war, 3 years.
In what country?
In the same place where I was, in Vienna, in hospital. not. Be in hospital, wounded, a Russian soldier. It was in the beginning, you can see it was in the beginning, the first 6 months of the war. They don't have barracks. They were not prepared for so many prisoners. So they put... So they put the Russian soldiers and their own soldiers together in the same hospital.
And this was in...
And this was in Vienna. Well, to be in hospital the first week, Kaiser Franz Joseph came to visit his own soldiers. When he was through the inspection, he came to us. We were but 15-20 prisoners, Russian prisoners. In the row where I was laying was six. To the first man, he came and he asked in Russian language. They tell us this is Kaiser Franz Joseph. And he started to ask questions where they took us prisoners. And if we know why the war start? So, the first one don't know the answers. He don't know why the war start. The second, so he came to me. He asked me my name. I said, Langer. He said, you a German? I said, no, I'm a Jew. I'm Yiddish. So he started to talk to me in Yiddish. And he asked me if I know where the war started and why the war started. What's happened? He wants to know him. I told him they killed the prince. They killed the prince. In the place he asked me, I said, Sarajevo. Where is Sarajevo? And Serbia border between Austria and Serbia. When I was through, he put in my bed 100 kronen and he said to the officers, when I'm through, they shall take care of me. He told them where to send me. So I was 3 years in a place where they call Knittenfeld. And they sent me not in lager between soldiers. They sent me to the Honor, which he donated barracks, 1,000 barracks, ground and everything. His name was Zollinger. And I came to him with a letter. And I gave him the letter. He said, you're going to be right here. You're going to be taken to my home. You're going to have everything. And at the same time, his wife came to me and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm a tailor. Good. You're going to work for us and you're going to stay. You're going to be in here. And after the war, you can stay with us. So, make the story short, I was about 3 years, not close to 3 years. And it was like I said, I was about 3 years in prison. It's a long time. And I heard in the office they're going to be sent soldiers back home, which they very bad sick, they gonna change prisoners, but just sick people. So, to be in office, I spoke to a man who I can see about going with the same shalom to go to Europe.
You wanted to go home?
Home.
Yeah.
He advised me to see a sister in hospital. And I saw the sister, I talked to her, and I said, Mitchell, her name was Mitchell, I'd like to go home. She said, well, I'll tell you, this is a risk, or go home, or to be in prison for so many years. If I do something wrong, to push in your name. We're going to do the right way, she said to me. Now, you listen to me, but you have to take a change, a big change. She said, the doctor was going to give you the examination tomorrow. And in that time, we go there and there. So you stay and wait, prepare, put in money in an envelope, put your name, and give him where he's going to buy, but you give him the envelope. He accept the envelope, good. He don't accept the envelope, it's no good. I put in 3,000 kron. And I, and she marked it my name and everything, what I want to. And exactly 5 o'clock, like she said, I see the doctor comes, and I gave him the envelope, he took the envelope. In the morning, I came to the hospital, the sister said, put in, be ready. Tomorrow we meet the big doctor from Vienna, and that doctor who you give him, he's going to take care of you. And don't have afraid. When I came, I see about 40 beds, people laying outside, like that. And she told me, the sister is there, and she said, stay here. You're going to be the last one. They all like that, and I said to her, what? She said, you stay here. When I came to the doctor, to you, it's all right. And it was like that. They examine, they put stamps in everybody, they come to me, and he said to the big doctor from Venice, said to the ass doctor, to the hospital doctor, what's the matter with that Carol? Carol, yeah. He said he comes every day in the hospital, and whatever I did for him, I can do. This is my best, what I did for him. And I report to you to send him. I can do more. He said to me, pick up your sleeve. I pick up my sleeve, and he put a stamp right in my arm. That means I go home. I go. I'm already going home, coming to Brod, a station where they call Brod. It's between Ukraine and Galicia. One side is Brod, the other side is Radzivilo. Brod, I have to go to Moscow. Radzivilov, I go to Kiev, The old soldiers where they were going to Moscow, staying abroad, and you can't go out. And I thought myself, if I ever change to leave my everything I have, to go over the border, I can go to Kiev. And the same day in the evening, I'm in Kiev. I decided myself to not to talk to nobody, not to say not even to the noises when they were there. I wanna go for a cup of coffee to drink in a restaurant. So I said to myself, if I'm going to tell them that, they will not leave me to go. Because